Just back now to Megan Woods and our earlier interview. I went on to ask her if she knew how Michelle Bogue got access to a list of people infected with COVID-19.
I don't have access to that information. I've seen that information in the media like everybody else has. Of course, all of those questions will be questions that the independent inquiry that Minister Hipkins has set up, they're all the questions that they will be asking.
Why would you not have access to information about whether it was legitimate that Michelle Bogue should receive a daily list of COVID patients on her personal email?
Kim, I wouldn't expect to know what email address that she was receiving information on. That is not information I would have. I understand this is health information. So it is not information that I'm briefed on, nor would I expect to be.
Why wouldn't you know who's receiving details of COVID patients?
So I would not know what email addresses people were receiving. That's what you asked me about.
All right.
Private email.
In
address.
General.
I am not briefed on
in
what
general,
email address people use.
In general, do you know who is legitimately accessing details of COVID patients?
So I do when it comes in terms of the managed isolation facilities, because that is the bit that I'm responsible for.
Yep.
And what I am briefed on. So that I know that, and I've seen this when I've visited the various facilities, that the people that are running it know, well, there's only one hotel, isn't there, that has people who are COVID positive, and that's the quarantine facilities. But in terms of who has access, of who needs to be transferred, if there's a positive test that is found, that is an operational lead, and each of the MIFs will have access to that information because that needs to be for that individual will need to be transferred to another hotel.
But that's not the case that we're looking at here with the information being sent to Michelle Bogue.
And all of that is the subject of the inquiry that Minister Hipkins has asked Michael Heron to undertake.
Can I ask you about the quarantine facilities? There are suggestions that people may have to book their quarantine facility if they are returning to New Zealand before they arrive. How will that dovetail with the continuing uncertainty about flights?
So that's what they will have. That will have to be a very joined up process. If that is something that we are able to implement, it will be that you'll need to, in order to board your flight, you'd need to have your accommodation already sorted out where it was that you were going to quarantine when you came to New Zealand. So we'd be working very closely with the airlines around that.
You mean you couldn't book a flight unless you've got a little slip saying you've got quarantine facilities booked?
There's one way you could do it. And when you think about it, it's quite a sensible way to do it, that we can't have people arriving back in the country if there isn't somewhere for them to safely quarantine. We do require people to isolate for 14 days so that we can protect the safety.
No, I understand that.
And the gains we've made.
But in realistic terms, if you're overseas and you want to come back to New Zealand, you book a quarantine spot and then you find you can't get a flight to fit in with it. Do you know what I mean? It's a logistical issue.
Yeah, and that's why there'll have to be a system that talks to each other that matches those two things. But I think we just do need to pause and think about the volume that actually we do have in terms of the ability to quarantine at the moment. I mean, we have a capacity.
I'm not asking you to justify the necessity of booking.
No.
I'm asking you about the logistics of it.
Yeah, no, and those systems will have to talk to each other. But I just wanted to give you an indication of volume. So at the end of 2 weeks, we'll be at nearly 7,000 people. That will be 14,000 people over the course of a month on the 14-day cycle that we'll be able to go through.
This talk of joined-up systems, we're not doing terribly well on joined-up systems so far. I mean, this interview, we've traversed the supermarket reopening. We've traversed somebody walking out of isolation. We've talked about, you know, health details going to somebody that leaked it. Joined up? Are we really joined up?
Look, I reject the premise of some of those comments you just made, Kim.
Which
someone
one?
Walked out of isolation. Someone found a gap in a fence and escaped by slipping through it.
No, but hang on.
He didn't skateboard
out, Ms. Woods. He walked out of isolation. There's no point in quibbling about that.
He found a gap in a fence and he slipped through it. This person broke the law. He found a gap in a fence while more secure fences were being put up. That is not something that we can allow to happen. But there is some responsibility on these people that are choosing to come back to New Zealand to follow the rules. They are made really clear to them that we've had nearly 30,000 people through our managed isolation facilities who have done just that. That if you want to rejoin the team of 5 million, you've got to make some sacrifice. We all made some sacrifice to get to the position we're in today.
And that was Megan Woods, the Minister in charge of isolation facilities.